Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. It's great to see the gang out there last Wednesday. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Look, your insurance agent can take so much worry off your plate. You know, they make sure you've got the right insurance, you're completely covered, whether it's auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be. You know, you want to make sure that you're covered. You want to make sure you're getting the best price. You want to feel like you're getting ripped off. You want real pros who are going to look after you because they think customer service is number one. Well, that's Purdy Insurance. And if you have a question, you want the not only a prompt answer, but the right answer. And if something were to happen, you want your agent right there and having your back. It's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Our play-by-play call of the day, our old friend Jimmy Cephalo, a great time on the Miracle in Miami.
Daniel, last shot, back to throw. They throw it down. They try to pitch it, and they do. To Parker. Parker pitches it. And it's strike, strike, 30, 20. That counts. He's got a tackle. Oh, that way! He got it in the end zone.
The Dolphins win!
Unbelievable!
Are you kidding me? That is unbelievable!
I don't believe what I just saw!
There are no flags!
No flags!
And the game is over! 69 yards!
I mean, the beginning is funny. Back to pass, pitches the ball. Here we go. No, wait, hey, whoa! What's going on? That was something. Yes, the Patriots lost.
What is it with them in Miami? Just seems like it's got to be almost every year.
Yeah.
Down there.
Hey, give the Dolphins credit. Maybe the Steelers ought to hire their coach. No, I'm just kidding. Meanwhile, in the back office, oh, you're darn right about that.
Oh, that's the first thing he said to me this morning. Oh, yeah.
He wants everybody fired.
Hashtag fire Tomlin. Got a couple texts from a couple buddies last night while the game was in progress saying the exact same thing.
Now, we don't have Greg Pickle yet, right?
Oh, we will here in about a minute.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yep.
We'll get to Greg. And then I want to talk about the facilities thing. Top 20 football facilities that was put out. And Penn State did not make the cut. You know, Penn State has good facilities, but everybody right now is on a roll with facilities. And, of course, you know Penn State is fundraising right now around its facilities. In fact, we'll be talking a little bit about facilities and some other things with Sandy Barber that we'll have in the Inside Penn State Athletics show coming up. Tomorrow will be with Josh Reeves. But Wednesday and Thursday will be at Sandy, and part of that will be on facilities, which will be, and then we'll preview Penn State, NC State on Friday with Patrick. But it's a great topic to get into and to talk about. Northwestern just built a state-of-the-art Orion Fieldhouse and Walter Athletic Center. 425,000 square feet. Cost them $270 million. They opened up in July. I talked to Todd Blackledge about this. He said, Steve, this is the greatest place I've ever been in. And when he was talking to me, he was standing on the eastern side of their indoor practice facility, looking out at Lake Michigan, because this is built on the shores of Lake Michigan. And they're number 20 on this list. They have in there, let's see, you can see Lake Michigan on one side, the Chicago skyline on the other. There's a barber's chair, hot and cold tub that seats 40 inside Northwestern's facility. And this is a big one for them. Washington was at 19. Washington, a $1 million locker room upgrade prior to the 17 season, which according to all accounts was really great. Talking to the Washington people, they loved it. They have 1.1 miles of purple LEDs. They said it looks like a spaceship in there, Greg Gaines told the Seattle Times. It's definitely the coolest locker room I've ever seen. Husky Stadium debuted a massive $280 million renovation in 2013, featuring new locker rooms, weight rooms, and a training center. And thus far, those enhancements have stood the relatively short test of time. Florida State is at 18 on this list. It says, part of the new five-year plan announced in September of 2018, Florida State will join college football's arms race with a standalone football facility that will be built adjacent to the Dunlap Athletic Training Complex at a cost of $60 million. Florida State upgraded their current locker room at Doak Campbell Stadium in 2014 and has since added a players' lounge, what they say is beautiful, and puts FSU near the top of the ACC, but still behind other programs of similar prestige. With noticeable enhancements elsewhere nationally, the Seminoles tumbled a couple spots in these rankings since last season. They're at 18. North Carolina State is at 17. Or check this, I'm sorry, the University of North Carolina is 17. University of North Carolina is 17. New indoor facility, 120-yard synthetic practice field, big upgrade over the old Eddie Smith Fieldhouse that they used to have. They've been using that for inclement weather, and it was not great. Next to the indoor facility, in the space previously occupied by Henry Stadium and Navy Fields, there are 220-yard outdoor practice fields and additional space for sports medicine and strength conditioning. The cost of the football practice complex, $32 million, and they say it's one of the nicest indoor facilities in the ACC. They've also done recent upgrades to Keenan Stadium. So that's big. Keenan Stadium, by the way, nice setting with the pines and everything like that, to their credit. USC comes in at 16. $70 million, 110,000 square foot John McKay Center. Opened in 2012. Meeting rooms, locker room, coaches' offices, two-story video board that acts as the centerpiece of the complex and, from all accounts, is the best feature there. There's another Pac-12 program extremely high on the list we're going through, but one to keep an eye on the future is Arizona. The Wildcats are planning new locker rooms, an indoor practice facility, major upgrades to their stadium in the coming years that could exceed $200 million. Kentucky, Penn State's opponent in the Citrus Bowl, is 15. They are pouring more money into football than ever before. And everyone knows it's a great basketball school, but they did a $45 million upgrade to the football training facility in 2016. It's 100,000 square feet. And it's a big step toward showing that they believe in what they have. In 2018, of course, they've won 9 games so far. They're going to take on Penn State. Every player's locker is ventilated with a cell phone charger, lockbox, cup holders. $120 million for all of that. They also renovated Commonwealth Stadium in 2017. It's now known as Kroger Stadium. Auburn is at 14. Auburn's new Harbert Family Recruiting Center just opened ahead of the 2018 season at Jordan-Hare Stadium. It's highlighted by two new open 16,000-square-foot enhanced locker rooms. In addition, the $28 million project includes the Babs and Michael Anderson Thorne Tiger's Den recruiting lounge, training areas, and the Tiger Walk Club, a two-level area for fans. And according to Greg Osterdorf, there's chandelier lights built to emulate the rolling of Toomer's Corner on the way from the new locker room to the Tiger Walk Club. 13 is Notre Dame, and I've seen some of this. I actually went around this one a little bit. Notre Dame, very simplistic but quite dazzling facelift prior to the 2017 season with a new-look locker room for the players. The Irish stopped short of bucking tradition, however, and still walked down the steps to touch the iconic play like a champion today message before heading out onto the field. Notre Dame has already started working on its 111,400-foot square-foot Irish Indoor Athletics Center, which will serve as an indoor practice facility for football, men's and women's soccer. Estimated completion next summer. I've seen some of this. Michigan at 12. Michigan's new $168 million, 280,000-square-foot South Campus Performance Center is nothing short of spectacular, they say, and was 100% privately funded. Features for several different varsity sports include three therapeutic pools, two treadmills in water booths, anti-gravity treadmills for rehab, conditioning and training. The Board of Regents in September of last year approved nearly $15 million in upgrades to the new Football Performance Center inside Schembechler Hall. Michigan's new $21 million weight room is a sprawling 32,000 square feet of awesomeness, including a cage basketball court. Georgia is at 11. In just over 1 year, Georgia enhanced its football facility at Sanford Stadium. $63 million project behind the West End Zone, featuring a new video board, 33% larger than its predecessor, 5,400-square-foot locker room that doubles the size of the previous player's locker room, 10,574-square-foot recruiting hospitality lounge, that's the new centerpiece for recruits during visits. And their indoor practice facility opened in 2017. And that's where they are. We'll give you the top 10 in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
So in this article, who's in the top 10 facility-wise? Again, Penn State's not in it. You know, if you want to go out there and you want to compete for all the things people want to talk about, you want, we want this, we want that, well, contributions make a big, big deal. And let's see, let's get to number 10, LSU. Baton Rouge, they go for it. 2015 renovation, they say, was necessary. It's helped with their recruiting efforts against Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, and Auburn. Prior to fall practice a year ago, they installed new turf field, LED fixtures inside their 83,000-square-foot indoor practice facility. Texas. Darrell K. Royal Texas Memorial Stadium, 11-year-old end zone, south end zone renovation. Big video displays. It's now the fourth largest scoreboard in college football. New player locker rooms. 43-inch monitors with player measurables and highlights. New age player lockers. That became a big thing 5 years ago with digital names, likeness. Necessary to keep up in recruiting. When a program hosts a visit, you want a player to see it all. Well, the Longhorns are slated to break ground now in a $175 million South End Zone project again next spring that will turn DKR into one of the top technology-enhanced venues in the country. Oklahoma is number eight. Oklahoma updating the Barry Switzer Center. They have ambiance that's second to none in the Big 12. They have the Red Room. That's a meeting room with Boomer and Sooner decorating the walls. A Heisman hallway that now is going to have a seventh one in it. A snack bar with unlimited options. The recovery pool has mood lighting. Oklahoma also introduced an upgraded video board this fall. 2,356 square foot, that's 38 by 62. The North Board, that's feet, by the way. North Board is more than three times larger than the previous look. South Carolina is number seven. South Carolina makes the biggest jump in the top 25. They debuted at 22 last fall. Indoor practice facility. All right, that really helped them jump. 110,000 square foot, $50 million Cindy and Kenneth Long Family Center, Football Operations Center. According to South Carolina, the main entrance into the building opens into a two-story lobby with a 20-foot-high Block C logo. The lobby will also include display of the George Rogers Heisman Trophy and displays from their bowl trophies. Several interactive screens are there. A Build Your Legacy corridor. New nutrition area located at the heart of the building. 20,000 square foot, two-story weight room, including custom weight racks and a variety of strength training equipment. That's how they made the big jump. Ohio State is sixth. So far, you got Michigan and Ohio State and Northwestern in there. The Woody Hayes Athletic Center. State-of-the-art locker room, strength training area, illuminated waterfall in the locker room filled with lots of steel and lots of scarlet. The indoor football practice facility recently added $7.8 million in renovations that brought a new kitchen and nutrition space for the athletes. Ohio Stadium undergoing more upgrades, which is essentially a facelift. It'll be finished by the 100th birthday of the stadium, which is 2022. Tennessee, number five. Jeremy Pruitt gets in there. It's a great facility. The Anderson Training Center, state-of-the-art facility, spans 145,000 square feet. By 2021, Tennessee's two-phase, $340 million renovation to Neyland Stadium will be complete, and the Vols should push for the number one ranking. Alabama. Number four, one day after Oregon released photos and details of its multi-million-dollar overhaul in 2013, Alabama did the same thing, and the Crimson Tide contractors did not disappoint. Hydrotherapy room features four waterfalls, and its entryway is pure national championship swag. The $9.1 million, $37 million weight room is the SEC's best. More on Alabama's impressive football-only facility can be looked at Bama Online if you want to see it. It really is impressive. Texas A&M is three. Three final programs beginning with Texas A&M. Aggies recently renovated the Bright football complex in the south end zone of Kyle Field. Nothing short of awesome, I guess. 2014, the $20.8 million renovation, one of college football's more lavish palaces, they say. I didn't know if I was in a football facility or a five-star resort, said Wake Forest football coach Dave Clawson after he visited Texas A&M's Diggs and College Station prior to a bowl game last year. Okay. Number two is, I believe, Oregon, kind of losing track here a little bit. Losing track because, as usual, laptops want to go faster than you want it to. Oregon, first time the Ducks have fallen from the top spot. $68 million, 145,000 square foot practice facility. Self-cleaning lockers. State-of-the-art. Weight room. Unbelievable. 40-yard digital sensor electronic track. on the mezzanine. One of the few in the world. Marble showers. Leather chairs. Barber shop. Wow.
And that's not even number one.
We'll tell you who number one is next half
hour. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be, whatever insurance you need, they're going to find you the best price. You're going to find you exactly the right insurance so you're covered. You have a question, they'll get you the right answer, quick and prompt. And there's a claim, they go to work as your partner. That is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. 90 minutes away from Talk to Santa, the Magic Radio tonight, and then Vikings and Seahawks tonight on Monday Night Football from CenturyLink Field in Seattle. All right, who's number one on the facilities? It is Clemson. I think everyone guessed that. Their new digs have been getting a lot of publicity. $55 million facelift. They basically have a player's theme park in South Carolina. They have an ode to the Memorial Stadium hill and rock in the lobby. A metal slide near the back of the building if you need a quick ride downstairs. They also have a basketball court, a miniature golf course, a wiffle ball field, bowling lanes, arcade games. They also updated their weight room, 23,000 square feet. It is the ACC's best. And you name the gadget, Dabo Swinney's office has it. Clemson, number one. So again, we talked about this, that when you look at the top 20, right? Yeah, you want to have the ability to compete with everybody across the board. Penn State's tough enough in their own division. It's tough enough in their own division. Now you look at it and you have Michigan and Ohio State both in the top 10 facility-wise. Penn State's making strides. Lash Building has made great strides. They've done some stuff with Haluba Hall. Obviously, Beaver Stadium is going to need more as time goes. But this is what you're competing against. That's the bottom line. This article is what Penn State is competing against on the road to elite. This, you know, now, do you need all of these things they talked about? No. But you do need several of the items. No getting around it. Because you're trying to compete with everyone. You don't need a roller coaster in there. You don't need that stuff. You don't need a miniature golf course. Anything like that. That's neat, but you know, you don't need that. Also, that miniature golf course didn't cost much money either. But just an example of what other people are doing in the, quote, college football arms race. All right, let's bring in Greg Pickle now from PennLive.com, Patriot News. Hello, Greg.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm pretty sure if you send these clips off to Fossil Watch, they'll send you guys some free ones, too. Apparently, we're giving them away as much as they can.
Hey, anything I can do to help the populace, that's what I do.
That's right.
All right, Greg, what kind of weekend was it for Penn State?
Well, from my vantage point, I think that a lot of the times, you know, Penn State has these big recruiting weekends. We try and make them synonymous with commitments. And if you look at Penn State's two big recruiting weekends, really since James Franklin got here, it's the Lash Bash in the summer and it's the big one in December here where they get almost all of the commits or as many of them as they can, and also some key uncommitted guys on campus for the weekend. And if you go back and look, those two dates, it's not that they've never produced commitments, but they don't typically produce them in the sort of quantity I think most would expect for such a big weekend where guys are touring the stadium and they're eating dinner with Coach Franklin and all the other coaches all weekend, spending a lot of time on campus, doing all the kind of stuff that kids do on recruiting visits. And a lot of the times those are, you know, you would think they might produce commitments, but just looking back over the history, since James Franklin's been here, sometimes they have and sometimes they haven't. I bring all that up to say that Penn State not getting a commitment this weekend. In fact, they actually lost one. Emory Simmons slipped on Saturday from Penn State to North Carolina, but the Lions not getting a commitment this weekend is no way an indictment of how the weekend went. Clearly, you saw a lot of excited, uncommitted guys who had a great time on campus. Now, if you're Penn State, do you wish you could have locked those guys up and got a commitment from one or two of them as we sit here about a week from National Signing Day, the first one? Yeah, of course. But it doesn't always work out that way. Excuse me, Steve. It doesn't always work out that way. You just put your best foot forward, which Penn State always does on these visits, and try and make kids leave with an impression and a desire to commit sometime down the road. So the way I look at it, very good weekend for Penn State. You know, the kids that were on campus, obviously the commits know what they're getting into, and they know that this is sort of the last hurrah for many of them as recruits on campus, because they'll sign on December 19th, and then they will be Penn State football players, and everything that comes with that, all the things that, you know, are part of the recruiting game are no more, because now you're a member of the program just like the other, what, 105, 110 guys in the locker room. So, good weekend for Penn State. Should or could net some commitments down the road, we'll have to wait and see, but I would say it was very productive. And then, you know, one thing I'd point out too, Steve, James Franklin on Friday alone, you know, Thursday, Trevor Keegan, the four-star offensive lineman from out there in Illinois. Friday's down early in the morning, seeing four-star running back Noah Kane is going to announce on National Signing Day. The Lions are very much in play there. And he flies back to Harrisburg and sees Julian Fleming, the five-star class of 2020 receiver in the state championship game at Hershey. Goes and has another in-home visit, and then he's back in State College for a weekend with over, you know, 15 recruits on campus. So if you think these guys are just kicking back and waiting for the Citrus Bowl, maybe try on a couple different Fossil watches. It's far from it.
I can assure you, too, that he did not actually end his weekend in State College. All right, we'll leave it at that. Okay, he was here for the banquet last night. Then he left for the banquet because work is still to be done. And let's now get to the next part. Of the guys that they are projecting to sign, is it possible there are double digits that will be early entries?
Yeah, at this point in time, they're darn close to it. I haven't counted the list up lately, but last check, it was 7, 8, 9 in that ballpark. So, yeah, I'm not sure if it'll be exactly double digits of the 16 guys currently that committed to Penn State and that we expect to sign, you know, next week on signing day. But you're talking somewhere in the ballpark of 7 to 9, and that's pretty much unheard of at Penn State. They had a very big January enrollee class last year. Of course, it was headlined by Micah Parsons, Will Levis, and some others. And that was a big, excuse me, number for Penn State, who typically has not had a big class like that signed and then enrolled the next month. But it looks this year that they're going to do that. It'll be headlined by Brandon Smith, the five-star linebacker from Virginia, extremely talented player. And I think that the more guys, especially with this new rule, and we talked a lot throughout the season and before the season, how the new redshirt rule and the ability to play four games and still keep a year of eligibility, we talked a lot about how that would affect guys currently on the team. Well, these January enrollees are putting themselves in that much better position to maybe make a case to play more than four games. because obviously the coaching staff is going to have 6 months of watching them grow. They're going to have 6 months of development in the classroom, in the weight room with Dwight Gault, on the field during spring practice, summer workouts with the guys, and then summer camps. So they put themselves in position to maybe play more than those four games, or at the very least, they give themselves a chance to play in at least four games. Of course, as the coaching staff sees fit, how the game plan works and all that. So it's definitely a good trend for Penn State. The more guys you can get on your campus and get them in your program, the better. I always think back, Judge Culpepper, excuse me, Steve, is a great example of a guy that, and Mike Miranda too. You remember Mike Miranda walking around mm-hmm. at, you know, his first couple of days on campus, and then you saw him at the Blue Light game, and he was a totally different guy. Judge Culpepper looked that way too, and of course so did the rest of his early enrollee classmates last year. So, I mean, it is a significant advantage when you guys, those guys can get into the weight room early. Like I said, you're looking at maybe 7, 8, 9 in that ballpark and on the list in front of me, but it's a significant number more than Penn State is used to, and that's going to mean good things on the field in 2019 as those guys really get a chance to get acclimated early on before jumping into the fray with everything during spring practice. And then they know what a lengthy, obviously it's that you can't teach summer camp, or you can't tell somebody what summer camp's going to be like until they experience it, but having spring practice under your belt, certainly a big step in the right direction.
Yeah, it wasn't just early enrollees. You mentioned Judge Culpepper. I believe he and P.J. Mustipher were among a couple of guys that actually were here for the first six-week session in May, as a matter of
right.
fact. So they may not have been here for spring practice, but they got here early enough to get themselves into the weight program and get themselves a six-week head start.
Yeah, and we talked about that a lot at that time last year. That was rare for Penn State, too, so they could have some guys fall into that category as well. I mean, as you know, Dwight Gault said at Lift for Life outside of the Lash building, or I'm sorry, Hoosa Hall last season, I'll take him as early as I can get him, he said, and there's obviously many reasons for that. And one of the biggest ones is, you know, we can talk about the football size and all we want, but as you well know, if guys don't get acclimated quickly in the classroom and to living by themselves and college life and all that, it can really slow their development on the field. And we can sometimes forget that as we talk X's and O's and game plans and sub packages and this, that, and the other thing, four games and a red shirt and so on and so forth. But the chance for those guys to get in, whether it's January, whether it's the mid-May semester, whenever, the earlier the better to start getting used to that, so that way everything is full steam ahead once camp starts.
All right, now here's the next part. I mean, Penn State now has this game coming up with Kentucky. Recruiting aside now, for the program, what would it mean to get to 10 wins for a third straight year, in your opinion?
Yeah, to me, I agree with James Franklin that it's a big deal. I mean, just to be able to continuously show progress, continuously show that you're moving the program forward, that you can come to Penn State, and you might, you know, to get on the track to compete for Big Ten titles and national championships and all that, what do you have to do first? You have to win 10, 11, 12 games, whatever it is, to be in that position. So if Penn State does that, even if it's in a bowl game, they have a 9-win regular season, they can win a 10th in a bowl game, it's significant. And I think one of the cool things about this Citrus Bowl, Steve, is that Kentucky's looking at it the same way. And I don't think either program is giving lip service. I don't think either program is just saying, you know, how important a 10th win would be just to say it. You know, I think it means a lot to both of these schools, their players, their coaches, and everybody else, fan bases, and so on and so forth, to end the season on a high note. And look, Penn State used the motivation of the Rose Bowl to help push 2017 up above and beyond. And then they end the season last year on a high note with the Fiesta Bowl, and they get the taste victory in the final game that some of these guys will ever get to play together. And I don't think you can understate how important that is. Because once these guys get back from, you know, California 2 years ago, Arizona last year, Orlando this year, it's not long before they're back in the weight room. Like I said, with Dwight Gault and his staff, or they're hitting the weights and doing all the things necessary to get ready for a new season. So when you go into it, I don't think you can understate the importance of ending that season on a high note and letting that catapult you into the off season. There's motivating factors about losing the game as well, no question. But I do think both programs at Penn State certainly are looking at this game as a major program building opportunity. It's something that, you know, Penn State has not done for a very long time, and certainly not often in the Big Ten era, to have back-to-back-to-back double-digit win seasons. So I think that adds to the intrigue of this game, even though the matchup maybe isn't all that enticing on paper. There's enough subplots and stories in this game to, I think, make it a pretty compelling trip to Orlando for the Lions in a game on New Year's Day.
All right, and also what about the young players in this? Now, obviously, the veterans are going to take a critical role in all of this, but there are also some players along the way that have not exhausted their fourth game yet. Do you expect to possibly see some of them?
It's a really interesting dynamic, right? Because you do want to win this game. You want to do everything you can to put yourself in position to score enough points and to get enough stops to win the game. And so what does that mean? That means that you have to, you know, keep your guys in here that are your guys, and they're your guys for a reason, and they're your starters for a reason, your first teamers for a reason. At the same time, you've been looking at this bowl game all season long as an opportunity to get some of your younger guys their second, their third, their fourth game while still keeping a year of eligibility. So I don't envy the coaching staff who has to figure all this out. We heard a lot over the last 5 years of James Franklin and his coaches discussing how they go about divvying up reps, how they go about deciding, you know, who's going to play when, where, and why, and how the week of practice going into the game has an impact on that. I would expect to see as many of these young guys play as they can. I think that obviously there's some that are a little bit further down the road than others as it relates to number of games played, or some are at three and they save the bowl game, and those guys will get first call because they, you know, they save this opportunity to get them their fourth game. So, you know, I think we'll see a number of those young guys mixed in with some of the, of course, starters and key reserves we've seen all season long. But it's big, and don't forget about the bowl practices either. You know, you can gain a lot being on the field for 60 minutes, but all these guys are getting additional practice work as well. And you can't, you know, to go back to the word, it's the theme of the day, is understate. You can't understate what those practices mean for guys, especially the development ones, where the older guys, they'll get their work, but maybe not as much as the younger guys do, going through game plan practices, going through development practices with their coaches, with the strength stuff and all that. It's such a big deal, and that's why bowl eligibility is such a big, you know, for Penn State to have to worry about it, you know, going back to the Pinstripe Bowl, it's always been over the 6-win threshold, but some of these schools that are getting in or out based on ARP and all this other stuff, you know, yeah, or APR, the academic progress rate, all these other factors, it's a tough blow when you don't get those, because you miss out on a chance to develop your guys. And as we know, the world of college football is not going to stop and wait for you to catch up if they got 15 practices and you did not in a bowl game. So those are key as well.
Greg, it's always a pleasure. Appreciate your time.
All right, gentlemen, have a good one. If I don't talk to you before, happy holidays.
All right, Greg Pickle, PennLive.com, and the Patriot News. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, we welcome everyone back. Final segment of the show. Great to have you with us here today. Thanks to Greg Pickle for being on the show today. We're going to have on the play-by-play voice of Kentucky football, Tom Leach, on Wednesday. And Jerry Dulac's going to join us on Wednesday as well, from the Steeler Radio Network and Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. So, yeah, that'll be quite a Wednesday. I like that. But you want to hear about it? I mean, Tom has worked so hard in his career. He is he had to work his way up. You're talking about a radio network in Kentucky. When it goes back to, I think, Lloyd Sullivan, and then the legend Kaywood Ledford, and Ralph Hacker, another legend in Kentucky broadcasting. And then Tom took over from them, and he's established himself, and he is beloved down there. And justifiably so. So we'll have him on the show on Wednesday, and Jerry will be on the show as well. We'll get into the Steelers and some of their issues. Well, it could be worse.
I said to Jerry, you may sneak in a Tiger Phil pay-per-view question.
Yeah, I probably will. I probably will.
Yeah.
You know, it could be worse. It could be take your son to work day and the kid's 32. I mean, it's just... It could be worse.
One day turns to 1 week. 1 week turns to 1 month.
Taking him to work every day. Like you said, it's just going to be one day, Dad.
I just made him part of the team.
Just kind of makes you think about SL, doesn't it? Suit light.
Yeah.
Take your kid to work day. He's 38.
I could have sworn it was just one day a year in April.
And I got to take him every day? a Neil Coulong on the show tomorrow. He'll get that Steeler ball rolling. Woo!
Three-game playoff. Here we go.
They're in trouble, brother. They are in deep trouble.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.